Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Why it matters on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. Elliot Dank, Bharati Jagdish and Ryan Huang.
The Singapore Exchange will be looking at the possibility of having online voting for its future annual general meetings. This is according to several directors in response to a shareholder query. A shareholder had actually asked during SGX's virtual AGM if the board could look at allowing shareholders to vote on resolutions electronically during meeting registration without having to fill up hard copy forms.
So SGX chairman was quoted as saying that SGX had debated on having online voting, but an issue was around integrity of votes. Why would this be an issue? Why would it hinder the SGX to in some way digitalize themselves? On the line with us this morning is Mak Yuen Tin, Professor of Accounting at NUS Business School. Prof, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Thank you, sir. Yes, I am very good today. And we are going to talk about this issue, the question of voting integrity. Could you help give us a bit of definition for context of why we're debating this?
Well, because, of course, since COVID-19, right, basically most of the meetings have been held virtually and there are a few hybrid meetings. So that has affected shareholder participation because, you know, if you think about, go back to the fiscal meeting days, basically shareholders can point any proxy to go to the AGM and ask the questions. And after all the questions are answered, they can vote on the resolutions. Of course, there are some shareholders who would vote before the AGM, but nevertheless, there's always this opportunity for shareholders to ask questions. And then if they are satisfied, after they are satisfied, then they vote on the resolutions. But with the way most virtual meetings are now conducted, where you basically have to submit your questions ahead of time and then vote before, and then at the AGM itself, in most meetings, you don't actually have a chance to ask questions and you already would have submitted your vote anyway, you know, because the voting deadline is usually 2 to 3 days before the AGM. So I think virtual meetings have definitely hurt shareholder engagement and participation, in my view. Yeah.
The thing is, Professor, SGX has said that it has concerns over voting integrity if the vote was moved online. Break this down for us, their reasons and whether you think they are valid.
So basically, the concern is, I guess, whether somebody else will log on and vote on behalf and who is not the shareholder himself. You know, but, you know, I've spoken to service provider, a key service provider, and basically, you know, you already have a SingPass system and 2FA system. And a few companies have already started using it, you know, and a lot of MCSTs and professional associations have already been using it. So I'm not so sure why people are worried about voting integrity. At the end of the day, you know, with you can do so many different transactions online now. Mm. Why is there a concern in terms of voting integrity? And, you know, so I was talking to one of the service providers. They say even at a fiscal AGM, right, even though you have to get your IC to register, what is there to stop somebody handing their IC to somebody else?
Yes.
And then the person register. You know, you have your IC when you were, maybe you looked 20 years old at that time, and now you are 70. So in a way, we are almost, my view is that we are almost creating excuses not to do it. Yeah.
Prof, then I'll just say it out. Are we at a situation where we are digitally ready, but we are afraid of the engagement that comes with being digitally ready?
Yes. I think, as I say, if you can do so many things online, I think we definitely are digitally ready. And the point is that there are already quite a lot of countries where, I'm just talking about Asia, right? If you look at in China, India, and Taiwan, you have online voting. And India, you can have online voting, you know, even during the AGM. So, and then in a number of developed economies, you can vote online, either before or during the meeting. So to me, and we are supposed to be one of the most digitally ready, right, economies. So to me, it's just this, you know, it's just an excuse to me not moving faster on this issue. Yeah. Mm.
You have made efforts to disabuse people of the notion that a lack of digital readiness or even costs or even prohibitive costs are valid reasons. You've disabused people of these notions. So what is the reason for the lack of readiness for shareholder engagement, really? Why are companies and the SGX so hesitant?
I think it's just a mindset that, you know, maybe they prefer shareholders not to be able to to ask questions live, because first of all, there are two parts to it. One is, are they able to ask questions live? And everybody else can see the questions. Now, I'm not just talking about texture questions in that, and only the company can see. I'm talking about almost mimicking what in a real physical AGM will happen, where everybody can hear everybody what everybody else is asking. So that's one element of that. And the other element is the online voting. I think that it's just issuers. I think part of it, I think they haven't tried hard enough to understand that the technology is there. I think I have to say that may be some of that. But some of that is also that, you know, maybe do we really want to have a situation where shareholders are able to ask questions live? Because they could be quite difficult questions, right? And in a fiscal AGM, we have seen that questions can be quite tough for bots to answer. And now, of course, with the online voting, maybe you could, if you are cynical, you will say that they prefer shareholders to make it harder for shareholders to vote, right? So we have seen shareholder participation and in terms of voting. So I've done a study looking at, you know, the percentage of shares voted. I'm talking about the public float shares. And we have found that it has declined when virtual meetings came on. And that may be in the interest of those running companies, right? They don't want to have too much, to ask too many questions and to be able to vote too easily.
makes you wonder what they're trying to hide, right?
I mean, so credit to those few companies that have step up and kind of say, we're going to have live Q&A by video and we're going to have live voting. I mean, kudos to those companies. And some of those are quite small companies. So it basically shows a mindset, right, that the board is willing to engage with shareholders.
Except when you get awkward questions, for example, about board composition. Could you walk us through some of the recent changes and concerns that you're looking at?
Yeah, you see, SGX, you know, my point is that I think SGX, if you look at the board, I mean, it has an impressive board. Make no mistake about it. But actually, if you look at, you know, board diversity is an example, right? They were on 25% of women, and they had a woman board. They are now on 20%, okay, on women directors. Mm. Okay, I'm not totally somebody who just looks at the percentage. Mm. To me, but nevertheless, the CEO of SGX is the co-chair of the Council for Board Diversity, okay? And they have basically said top 100 companies should be at 20%. Yes, they are at 20%. But I always say SGX as the market regulator should set a higher bar. If you tell everybody else you should go, top 100 companies, you should go 20%. I would go 30%, right? Mm. So, and the other thing is the international standard is basically 30%. Okay, but the other issue is, of course, if you look at the, you know, I think there's just a few too many of the same type of people. I think they are quite well-equipped in terms of people with technology, innovation type background. They have two directors in their kind of background. They do have a director who has a experience on the London Stock Exchange and so on. So I think they are quite well set, but I think they lack somebody with regulatory type experience, people with regulatory type experience on the board. And we are talking today a lot about ESG, right? About they are driving all these climate disclosures and ESG. You know, they probably should be looking for somebody with a bit more background in that kind of area. So, and they are a little bit heavy, I feel, on the accounting side. You know, I'm an accountant by trading. I think most boards would need somebody with that background. But they have three people with accounting background, one current CFO of a listed company, and then a couple of retired partners of Big Four firms. So I feel that they need to look at their board composition. And the other thing why I had an issue with that is that they have three directors, right, who are interlinked on another board. Okay, so three SGX directors are together sitting on another LISCO together. You know, SGX often will ask companies in terms of, hey, how are you searching for directors, right? When you have three of the same people sitting on another board, and I think the fact that SGX is a regulator they also need to be careful, right? Because there'll be a perception in terms of, hey, if you have three of your directors sitting on one LISCO, does that create at least a perception issue, right? In terms of the regulations. So there are a whole bunch of issues that I think SGX just need to be more sensitive to perception.
What do you think will spur them to change their ways?
Well, MAS is supposed to be the regulator of SGX, right? So I guess part of it is market pressure. Institutional investors, they have a lot of institutional investors. They don't even have really, you know, so they are fairly widely held. So institutional investors could give them a bigger push. Market pressure, and I think MAS does have a role to play in terms of maybe asking them to look a little bit closer at their board composition, for example.
The thing is, when it comes to the wider landscape, minority shareholders also need to step up, right? I mean, there's a two-tier voting system. They can actually exercise their votes better. They should also be asking questions, shouldn't they, about board renewal and succession planning. Why do you think more of this isn't happening right now?
Well, the two-tier system, you know, like in the case of SGX, right, they basically say after 9 years, they don't consider a director to be independent. So they are not even putting up the directors for a two-tier vote. You know, so in that sense, the two-tier vote doesn't apply for SGX itself. They basically have just reclassified those directors from independent to non-independent. But I think with the two-tier voting coming in, you will have more shareholders asking questions. But I also feel a bit disappointed that, you know, retail shareholders can only do so much because they own very little shares. They don't have much of an influence. I think the institutional shareholders, including the international ones, really need to step up and push our companies to improve their standards. So I think they should scrutinize boards more carefully. The problem with many institutional investors, including asset managers, is they will complain about board composition when things really go south. It's already too late. You know, there's a big scandal. Then they question the board composition. I think that they should be more proactive on an ongoing basis, looking at board composition. And if they are not convinced that the company has done a proper search process and done a proper assessment of suitability of directors, they should just vote against. Okay? And my view is that they are too hesitant at the moment to vote against. So most of the time, they will vote to support the appointment of directors. So you see most resolutions for directors pass with 90%. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Also maybe because it's online, more participation in that sense. I mean, we could debate about that, but Prof, I mean, while we got you on the line, I just want to squeeze in one last question. And it's a semi-opinion piece on the back of how Singapore will require mandatory climate-related disclosures for listed companies. We've got the UN Climate Change Conference coming up. In your opinion, are Singapore companies on track when it comes to tackling climate change? What more do you think can be done?
Yeah. I think Singapore is still a bit slow. Most of Asia is a little bit slow on that. I think it's very clear that Europe leads in that space. Even US is a little bit further behind. So Europe is clearly leading. And then Asia generally is slow. So I wouldn't say necessarily that Singapore companies are slow. I think Asia generally are behind. So I think the recent SGX consultation paper where they are proposing to make certain disclosures mandatory, certain climate-related disclosures mandatory, I think that will push it further. Yeah.
We're on the line with Mark Nguyen-Tin, Professor of Accounting for NUS Business School. Prof, as always, we appreciate your time. You take care and stay safe, yeah?
Most welcome. Okay, bye.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.